Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show. I'm your host, Robin Walter. We got a packed program today. Got to get rolling right away on this. But before I forget, and I will if I don't do it right away, I just want to let people know how to get this program. You can get it on a podcast. Type in The Robin, R-O-B-I-N, just like the bird, Walter Show in your podcast button, and you will pull it up. If you need to go to Rumble, and we will probably all end up on Rumble if we want to continue our free speech. Even Joe Rogan is getting courted by then because we're headed for sanctuaries because the FCC is just really about federal communist control is what it's going to turn into. It really is. Smacking down, shutting down all free thought, independent thought, anything that puts the regime at risk of being exposed for truth is going to get shut down. We're planning for that. So you can find me on rumble.com. And what you do when you go to rumble.com is you don't type in The Robin Walter Show. All one word, just Robin Walter Show. They don't take the. I don't know why, but they didn't. Just Robin Walter Show, all one word, up in the search bar, and you can get it. And this is going to be certainly, this is one of our ways by which we get the program out, but it could be our primary vehicle in the future as the FCC is going to continuously crack down under the Biden Der Fuhrer regime here, because you're not going to believe some of the stuff that's coming on this program today. It is over the top, unbelievable what's going on and how far we've sunk. Now, you know what? I had a Bible verse I wanted to share, but I think I need to do a couple of stories first. I think it's going to fit in a little better because, I was just moved to postpone that verse for a little bit. But I want to start off with a little bit of good news. Abortions in Texas. Okay, so Texas had the abortion law, which put some restrictions on it, upheld by the Supreme Court. These abortions, in the first month of its implementation, saved or cut abortions by 60%, 60, not 16, 60%. Over 3,200 babies were saved by the Texas bill. 3,200. Isn't that about how many died in 9/11? Wasn't it 33 something and change that died in 9/11? This is how many were saved in 1 month. And I've done a number of stories before that the abortions in the United States takes more lives in 1 day than what the terrorists, the Ahmeds, took on 9/11. True. That's a fact. It exceeded the number killed on 9/11 as a number of innocent unborn children that were snuffed out every single day in the United States. Well, that's good news. We got a lot of work to do, but go get them. Texas, we're looking forward to you, Texas, seceding from the Union. I'm looking for some land there, not to move there, but some land to just own in case you got to flee. And about four or five other states. I've said this to a number of people. If you've got some extra money, I know the stock market's gone nuts. I don't really understand it. I'm not a stock market guy. I buy too early, sell too early. Fear and greed direct most investing. That probably might apply to me. I don't know. It's not my gifting. I much rather prefer real estate. But I think it's a great idea if you have some extra money to simply find a nice piece of dirt, enough to grow some crops on, at least a big garden, a few acres anyway, but as much as you want. Maybe you got cattle in some different states. And I'll tell you right now, they're all in the heartland. So let the leftist elites, the slugs on the left, I apologize only for a redundancy because they're lacking in cojones, brains, and morals, and that's not mutually exclusive explanations of their deficits. That's just where they are. They are Democrats. Well, consider that. I'm doing it. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying I'm doing it. Look around. I've had some people that have taken that advice. They bought some land in Idaho, some in, I think, South Carolina, Mississippi. I mean, whether these are states that I've recommended or not, I've just simply encouraged people to stake a claim somewhere closer to the heartland. And you have to, and if you're going to be on the East Coast, South Carolina is as far north as you want to be. For reasons that from North Carolina up, it's just turned into Democrat la-la land where the Constitution doesn't mean anything, truth doesn't mean anything. They're truthophobes, Christophobes, bibliophobic in virtually all of those states. All the people, no, but a majority, yes. West Coast and East Coast, by and large, stink, at least down to till you hit Gamecock country, which is South Carolina. All right. Now, before I get to this Bible verse you will understand better when I get done with these stories. So, what have we had recently here as far as what is a prelude to what we know to be voter fraud? I made the statement many times well before the last election. There's no way Donald Trump can lose except for voter fraud. And you're not going to believe what the Department of Homeland Security is launching by way of a domestic terror threat. Domestic terror threat, their reasons for launching it should give you chills, but more determined than ever to be in a state that could get the heck out of the United States peacefully, honorably. Sorry, it's been nice, but now we got to scream. We're going to take our marbles and leave. But I got to throw this in here because I've said this before. If a state leaves, it has to do a couple of other things. When it forms its own constitution by itself or in conjunction with other states, it has to outlaw abortion except to save the physical life of the mother, where it's distinctly more likely than not the mother will die if the abortion. We've always had that law. And then you got to get rid of queer adoption, queer marriage, queer everything, tranny everything. And those need to be in the constitution of the states, a state, now a country, or organization of states. So, and it needs to be in the constitution and not be amendable. It needs to be a constitution that has to some things like that, the non-negotiables that cannot be amended. And why do I say that? Because you got a lot of yin-yang leftists coming to great states, ruining them, trying to get away from the mess that they created, not connecting the dots that they were participants in creating the mess, going to other states that are good states and simply replicating and duplicating the poop parade that they were in when they were in those other states. Here, so this is what you have to do. You have to make these other states inhospitable to the left. No abortions, no queer this, no queer that, Second Amendment for everybody, statewide militia. You got to just scare the crap out of the left and get them gone. I don't care if it's Amazon. I don't care if whoever has moved into Texas or whatever other state it is that people say, oh, this is great with a lot of jobs. No, get their sorry derrieres out of that state and trust me. If you do the right thing, it won't be easy, and there'll be a transition. God will bless that nation whose God is the Lord. Why can I say that? Because the Bible says it. God will bless that nation whose God is the Lord. And if you put God first and you can teach, oh, let's throw this in there. You can also teach the Bible and in what are now no longer government schools, but public schools. Oh, and there'll be vouchers for people who want to direct their property taxes to the use of a voucher system so kids can be taught in a private school. Doesn't have to be a Christian school. It'd be a private school. And just keep it away from the government, even though the government should be much sounder in those states that are now a country. Am I suggesting that you rise up and overthrow the current government? No. So hear me out. That is not biblical. But leaving is not unbiblical. There are several areas of Israel. I think Lachish was one of them that comes to my mind, that Israel got so corrupt, they left. They seceded, meaning they left. They separated themselves and became an independent little nation state or city state, I guess it would be better called. That is not unbiblical. Now, to rise up and attack and overthrow the existing government, I don't see a biblical basis for that. And I'm not suggesting that be done. This isn't about trying to get rid of Joe Biden and the Democrats. This is about getting away from Joe Biden and all the Democrats. And when you hear these stories today, you're going to understand whereof I speak. So, Bob Unruh, he's a great reporter for WorldNet Daily. Bob, I want to give you credit to the story, but this is about what happens when one party has absolutely zero morals. And, of course, we're talking about the Democrats. They are. Is Joe Biden demon-possessed? I would say he could be. Now, don't think that demon possession means that your head must spin around like Linda Blair's did in that old movie, The Exorcist, and then vomit out, puke out green slime. No. Scripture says that there are that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You don't know that he's... You don't know from the surface or the external things that a person's demon-possessed. No, in that movie, it's Hollywood. They had to make it very graphic, and they did. But it also says that there are those who are acting as ministers of righteousness, meaning demons that are, frankly, in churches. Do they come across as ugly people with three eyes and 87 warts on their nose the size of dimes and all of this stuff? And, I mean, just gross, ugly, you name it, drooling, what have you? No. No, they're going to come across as slick people, sort of like Barack Obama. I'm not saying he's demon-possessed, but I'm just going to say they're going to have charisma. That's the word I'm going for. They're going to be charismatic. They're there now. Take those seven churches in the book of Revelation, you know, the church of persecution and church of laziness, corruptness, all of those. I mean, goodness sakes, I visited about five of those seven churches because we're streaking toward the end time. And those of you listening, I'm going to try to put together a very special offer for my book, The Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events because more people need to read this book. And for those of you who have ordered it at the regular price, which is $15, including postage and handling, postage is over $3. So it's like 11 something for the book. But for those of you who have gotten it in the past, I am going to lower the price. But those who have gotten it in the past, I'm going to drop it down to like $5 for if you want another copy to give or as many copies as you want. For those who've already ordered one, and I have a long list of those people, because I don't want you to pay more earlier on and see that you could get the book cheaper now, because it's going to be available for those who have not ordered it for going forward. Well, I don't know exactly the price. I just sent out a couple more the other day, and I want to make it right with everybody so that it's dirt cheap for those people to reorder some copies, give them away, plan for Christmas, birthdays, stocking stuffers. You need to read the book. Well, there is no pre-trib rapture. Trust me. I have read the Bible so many times. This book is about how a lawyer, which I am, looks at Scripture, which is a covenant, which is the biblical word for contract. Contract. You don't have to add any words. You don't have to move things around and say, oh, well, they really meant this there and they meant that there to finally come up with your own contorted view of how we get out of here early. That's a bunch of balderdash. I know this is pretty strong. That theory has a tight grip because why? Well, we want it to be true. There is nothing more I would love than this book to be completely false. Seriously. I would love to be shown completely false. And if I had the money and the time to, well, we'd be in heaven, right? I guess I was false, so we got raptured here early, but give everybody their money back. Well, anyway, I got to get on here. So the Democrats, the Democrats have no morals. They've got no brains. They got no morals. They got no cojones. They got nothing. Absolutely nothing. And this comes down to where, like I said, the reason Trump lost was voter fraud. Absolutely clear as can be. We keep getting closer to proving that in Arizona, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania. Michigan's a little bit slow, but Donald Trump should be the president. And the Democrats are scared out of their wits that Trump is going to emerge. Like the phoenix, he'll rise from the ashes. Like the, what's that old Bill Murray movie? Which one was it? What About Bob? They said, you think he's gone? He's never gone. Not until he dies will he be gone. Will he be the next president? I don't know, but they're scared. They are doubling down, tripling down. They have gone on full court press to hurry up and make this a socialist country before the next election, and have the fraud in place so that it can never be turned around again. Now, voter fraud has been around for a long time. The very first one that we know for a fact, was 1960, and the voter fraud that occurred in Chicago and in other parts of Illinois that turned Illinois for JFK instead of Richard Nixon. Proven, absolute fact. And every single provable known voter fraud of consequence. Take Al Franken in Minnesota. Let's have as many recounts as it takes until we get him elected. Every single meaningful, provable voter fraud case in the last 62 years, and that's all the farther we can go back for a fact, have been by Democrats. Look, there wasn't a huge difference way back then, but they were prone to doing what was necessary in close cases to get their person in. And I'm going to do a follow-up program, which won't be the full hour here. You're going to probably get it on Monday or Tuesday of next week. So look for it on your podcast. That's going to break a story wide open that's 36 years old. Yeah, it's going to be, I think the title for the program is going to be Your 36-Year-Old Breaking News. And you do not want to miss it. It's just going to blow you away. So that was our first voter fraud. But here, so what happened under Barack Hussein Obama? Right? You know, so he was, all of his hacks in the DOJ, FBI, so forth, which we know are now have a ton of corrupt people, federal slime. That's what we need, right? Ghostbusters. Get rid of that federal slime, also known as the swamp. It's much bigger than Trump ever could have even conceived. But it was Obama whose partisans in those agencies launched the obviously debunked Russian collusion conspiracy theory, which they keep pushing. They don't have that now, really. They're working on the January 6th thing, which we're finding out the FBI had a role in that. Of course, we only have what they keep saying. And the death that occurred during the insurrection, the only death that occurred was a Capitol Hill cop who slaughtered an unarmed woman, Ashley Babbitt. Well, guess what? We had the IRS attacks on conservatives and conservative organizations under Obama, because we couldn't have those conservatives speaking out and speaking strongly, because what do they speak? The truth. And you can have 90% falderall by leftists and 10% of the media comprised of conservative talk, and the truth will win out. That's why they want to extinguish it. That's why we have to head to Rumble and other places so that we can make sure that we stay on the air. But it gets worse. Louie Gohmert, Republican congressman from Texas. This doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't. When you have no morals and you have to do everything you can to stay in business, stay in office, well, same thing for them. That they have been, the feds, the DOJ has been intercepting and marking up his email as a congressman. I want to quote what Louis says. Quote, in January, my staff received a letter addressed to my official office from a Christian missionary, which had already been opened and then stamped DOJ mailroom with a date, and then it was x-rayed on the stamped x-rayed on the stamp. He said, last week, my office received a second piece of mail from a constituent mailed from East Texas and postmarked September 2021. It took 4.5 months to reach my office and was opened and bore a stamp also from the DOJ, which we now know to be corrupt. I'm adding those words. So he said, it's deeply concerning that the legislative branch mail is somehow now being reviewed by the executive branch mail, even though we have different proprietary zip codes. Even if it were a mistake to deliver Congress mail to the DOJ, the DOJ has an obligation to immediately notify Congress and forward the mail without opening it. End quote. So we have the DOJ opening congressman's mail. We know it's corrupt. They're corrupt. Then he goes on to say, then we've been told that, congresswoman here. I misplaced the name here. I got Louie's quote of her that she was told that the Capitol Hill police doing opposition research that is now cataloged for later use, that he says, we have never, ever seen a Congress so partisan to such an unethical and illegal extent. I'm sorry, I messed up my quotes here. It is Nancy Pelosi who has the Capitol Police. This makes much more sense. I thought it was a different congressman, but it's somebody on the left here. It's Nancy Pelosi that has the Capitol Police doing opposition research that she is now cataloging. They're having them cataloged. And she's already put out this edict, this order, that says that the Capitol Police are in charge of demanding, and this has been passed on to the congressman, demanding the congressional offices, quote, to turn in names, dates, and times of all congressional meetings along with the purpose of the meeting for our constituents to be allowed entrance to in our office buildings to meet with their duly elected member of Congress. Well, we never had that before. The purpose of the meeting, all you have to say, all these Republican congressmen would have to say, if you weren't under that wicked witch of the West, Nancy Pelosi, who you can't tell whether she's stupid or drunk because those two effects have conflated in her delivery, all she has to do is say, give us a calendar of when you will be available for your constituents to be allowed entrance into the building to meet with you. She does not have to put out this edict that says, we need you, congressman. And, of course, she doesn't mean the Democrats. She means her opposition, the ones that might kick her sorry butt out of being speaker in a few months. To turn in names, dates, and times of our meetings, this is Gohmert speaking here, our meetings, along with the purposes of our meetings. So there's no confidentiality. She's got the, and this is where I got mixed up here with my quote, that Gohmert and the others have been told that the Capitol Police are doing opposition research that's cataloged for later use. Now, Troy Nels said that the Capitol Police entered his office and was taking photographs of various papers on his desk, his work product, and then left and then came back and harassed one of his staffers. Now, a spokesperson for Capitol Police pointed to a statement by Chief Thomas Manger, and where Manger said there was no case investigation was ever initiated or conducted into the representative or his staff. That is an absolute lie, It's Democrat. Capitol Police have now been co-opted. If they weren't Democrats before, the Republicans have been scrubbed and they're all Democrats now. Gohmert said this statement is absolutely laughable. Assuming he isn't lying through his corrupt teeth, how does he explain the fact that they were disguised as construction workers? That's right. Capitol Police are in the offices taking pictures of the work product of Republican congressmen who aren't just drinking the Kool-Aid, disguised as construction workers, and then come back later to harass a staffer with pictures that they had actually taken 2 days before. Well, let's move along. Biden, der Führer, Joe, no brains, demon-possessed Joe Biden, declares a heightened terrorism threat. Now, this goes back a couple of days, so you may have heard it on the news. Or for Hannity or Ingram Engel or something. I don't know. I don't catch all of those because I don't have time. I like to know what they say because I don't want to just sit here and parrot what they say, even though I come to the conclusions independent of them. But I've got to go deeper in this story because I know they could not have gone as deep as this goes. So why did the DHS declare a heightened terrorism threat just a few days ago on February 8th? Let me quote. This should concern you. This is why I wept. I know where I was in the very room. I know where I was standing in the room when George Bush announced the creation of the Department of Homeland Security after 9/11. I started to weep. My wife was there. What's wrong? I said, because God just showed me what's going to happen. The Department of Homeland Security will be used not for us, but against us. The day will come where it will be not much different than the Schutzstaffel, Hitler's SS. They will become simply the militant arm of the federal government to snuff and extinguish and suppress all truth and that speaks out against a corrupt, evil regime. It's coming. God showed that to me on 2001, whatever day it was, that George Bush announced that was the day that I started to weep. I held it back, but I had some tears because I could see it. God just made it so clear to me. And it was of God because it's coming true. It's taken 21 years. It hasn't taken 21 years. When we had Janet Incompetano as the Attorney General under Obama, I guess it was. Very early Obama? No. Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, she was the one who called out, said, you know, our real threats are those on the right, those who are returning from war, those who are our hardened veterans, those conservatives. It's not all these Muslims blowing the crap out of everything and running across our border with suitcase bombs and all that. It's you conservatives that are the problem. That's the left always calling the opposition what they themselves are guilty of. That's why a state needs to leave. I can't believe it. Are we to a break? Please don't leave. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear. And it only gets worse before it gets better. We'll be right back. Robin Walter of The Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358, or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show. P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
Hey. a great in rocks and the mountains. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won.
We are back. This is Robin Walter, the Robin Walters Show. That's a Bobby Fuller four. I fought the law and the law won. The one-hit wonder, but I love the song. Anyway, so the heightened terrorism threat. Let me read it verbatim from just a few days ago. This terrible terror threat. Is it Islamic streaming across the border? Is it a question of a Russian invasion? Is it? No, none of that. It's all the people who aren't drinking the stinking Kool-Aid cooked up by the Democrats. Quote, the United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories, and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation introduced and or amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. End quote. So, number one factor in issuing a domestic terror threat are those people, such as yours truly here, moi in French, trying to speak the truth through different platforms. Just truth, speech, free speech, with a point of view about the COVID non-vax vaccines, the ones that actually do as much to kill you as heal you or protect you. Points of view are a terror threat. But that's only one of them. It doesn't end there. It goes on to say, let's move on to number two, factor number two. Mass casualty attacks and other acts of targeted violence conducted by lone offenders and small groups acting in furtherance of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances pose an ongoing threat to the nation. Noting that these individuals are seeking to, quote, furthering the quote, sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions, end quote. The mass casualty attacks have been all by the left. How about that whacked out racist guy in Wisconsin who mowed down all those people? Like, so they killed six of them and the 13 that died because of Joe No Brains Delphier Biden triggered that in Afghanistan. How about all the crapola from the BLM and Antifa? They're your domestic terrorists. Those are the threats. But does a DOJ or the DHS issue anything about them? No, because they're in league with those bastards. Sorry, but that's the truth. Look it up. The word bastards in the Bible, two or three places. Don't tell me I'm using a non-biblical word. That's how angry I am at this crapola. Targeted violence. Yeah, targeted violence is called Seattle, Portland, Philadelphia, and Kenosha, a whole bunch of cities, all targeted violence by Antifa and the BLM crap monsters, and they don't include them. No, the targeted violence is lone offenders, small groups, and furtherance of ideological beliefs. You know what, DHS? You're describing yourself. How about noting that some individuals are seeking to, quote, sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions? You want to know something? You want to know who is sowing discord and undermining the public trust in U.S. government institutions? It's U.S. government institutions. It's U.S. government institutions that are sowing the discord and undermining the public trust in U.S. government institutions. So, point number two really has nothing to do with targeted acts of violence. It's those who have ideological beliefs and personal grievances with where the direction that this nation is going. So I guess I'm a domestic terror threat, right? That's not all. Let's go on to this one. The DHS has stated that there are misleading narratives surrounding COVID-19 and claim that some individuals have used COVID-19 mandates or vaccines to carry out attacks since 2020. Okay. Jack Phillips writing this article, I want to quote him here. He says the agency did not elaborate or provide one single bit of evidence, additional evidence for its allegations. The DHS also listed online claims of election fraud as a contributor, and it again didn't provide additional details of evidence. So here's number three. Anybody online disseminating information, speaking, using their First Amendment right to contend that there was election fraud in 2020 is now the third factor for issuing the DHS heightened terrorism a threat. I mean, this is just unbelievable. I mean, so why isn't it the media, the mainstream media, who is doing the dis and malinformation, why aren't they arrested, sought out, and investigated for doing all of the things which we have just listed, up to three factors here right now? Why aren't they? Because they're cahoots. They're just a marketing agency of a left-wing wannabe socialist, wannabe communist government, and shut down all political contrary thought. Now, they did throw in, and maybe this was to cleanse themselves, that there's an ISIS terrorist group and its affiliates that may issue public calls for retaliation due to the strike that recently killed ISIS leader Abu Ibrahim over in, where was it? I guess it was Afghanistan. But did we kill him? Yeah, but we also killed a whole bunch of civilians as well. Nice going, Joe. So this is the second one. We got the 13 that are dead because of your ill-advised, stupid pullout, your weak-kneed concede to the left pullout in Afghanistan that cost 13 American lives. And who knows how many innocent Afghan lives that supported the Americans and couldn't get out. And now ones that got wiped out because we killed the ISIS leader. So the terrorist group, may they issue public calls? Oh, they might. But that's only listed as a possibility. The other three factors are all domestic, stating that these people are doing it. Now, number four, the bulletin also made note of recent, threats to black colleges and universities across the United States. They produce absolutely zero evidence for this. And you know how I know DHS is lying through every orifice of their body? Because if, in fact, there were all these racist recent attacks to black colleges and universities, we would be seeing them in the news. There's no evidence of this, but we've had 2 years of BLM terror, but we haven't seen this against the black colleges and universities because CNN, MSNBC, CBS, all the alphabet networks, they would be talking about it. If they had anything to talk about, they would be talking about it, but they aren't. So they have to just say that they're alleged threats. Last, are you kidding me? They said that this heightened threat, which is so important that we need to have all of these things be factors in a heightened terror threat, it will expire on June 7th. What? Are you kidding me? So let's just pick an arbitrary date to have the terror threat lessened. And look, if the terror threat is gone, wouldn't you eliminate the terror threat when it's gone? How do you know it's going to be gone by June 7th? They picked an arbitrary date of June 7th. And you know why June 7th is? because that's how long they need the terror threat to be in place to help suppress all conservative talk that is going to influence primary elections, which are primarily held in June for the coming elections this November. DHS, you suck. You're not on our side. You're on the side of the communists and the socialists. You're in the pocket of the Democratic Party. Don't go away, because I want to tell you, it gets even worse. Be right back. This is Robin Walter, and this is a first for me. You know, in 16 years on the air, I have never promoted a product because I hear others do it. And truth be known, they say they use the product, and, well, they did once. But I want to introduce you to Dissident Soaps, a fine company promoted by Gab News because it's a moral, patriotic American company that makes fine products. Absolute best deodorant I have ever used. Great shampoo, and they even have me now using body wash, which is not, always a guy thing. But check them out online at DissidentSoaps.com. That's Dissident, D-I-S-S-I-D-E-N-T, if you graduated from a government school like me, .com. But be sure and tell them that you heard it on the Robin Walters Show.
Down home, where they know you by name and treat you like family. Down home, a man's good word and a handshake are all you need. Folks know, if they're falling on hard times, they can fall back home. Those of us raised up down home.
You know, some of you wonder why I play this so much. Down home is sort of a melancholy calling within my heart to see the better things of yesterday. I don't want to go back in time. Scripture says, do not say that the former times were better than these. The Bible says, I don't know if it's in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, I'm not really sure. It says it, don't know the address for it. But it says, do not think that the former days were better than these. Don't long for them. Because each day has had its problems. But there were some things out in the past that you like to bring forward. And down home, thinking about growing up, and a handshake was all we needed. Nobody in town ever locked their doors. Ever. All the years I was there. There were times people would sell a house, and you had to turn over the key, and the seller would say, I'm sorry, I don't know where it is. I haven't used the key in 25 years. That's the way it was. That's why I play that song. Okay, back to the DHS. No doubt a lot of good people working there. The problem is, when you've got people like what Mayorkas and others that are head up these things, which are just simply communists and in better suits than they provide in Russia. Well, not Russia. Russia's actually becoming, in some respects, more moral than this country. It really is. But I covered that before. I don't want to get into it now. But when you have them doing this, what's it preparation? All of this is designed to steal an election, to suppress all political opposition and thought that gets in the way of a complete socialist takeover, which they got to have done by 2022, or else they can't permanently complete it for 2024. That's how bad it is. It really is that bad. And like I said, I'm not here to allege or urge an overthrow. I'm here to urge people, states, leaving and just saying, look, we got to go. You don't have authority here anymore. And it's not against the law to encourage secession, because secession is allowed. Now, Joe is so ridiculously stupid and misinformed. Sometimes he stutters, and that's when you know he gets lost for words, and that's when you know he needs a couple of batteries replaced in his cranium. But the fact of the matter is, when it's no longer safe, what do? You flee. Jesus fled Galilee. Joseph and Mary fled Israel till it was okay to return. Paul ended up having to flee about every place he preached, starting, I think, with Ephesus, where they had to let him down over the wall. You know, going over the wall usually means a prison escape. But with Paul, it meant just getting out of Dodge so he could save his neck. revolt with our feet when it's not safe. And maybe the left wants that. Not really, because it's conservatives who do most of the work. It's conservatives who pay most of the taxes. It's the conservatives who aren't breaking into houses and causing all sorts of crime, which was basically let off the hook by George Soros appointed and well-funded prosecuting attorneys. But I told you it's going to get worse. Listen to this. Joe Biden, this is the depth of corruption, has a very new high-level hire at the Department of Energy's Office of Nuclear Energy. This is a guy, and he wears stilettos to the office. He's a drag queen. He's an LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ activist. You know, I got to say something here. You know, it used to be LG, and then LGBT, and then LGBTQ. And now today, and just recently, it started. Articles are starting to say LGBTQ plus. And why is the plus there? Because they are preparing the way for new forms of debauchery and abomination to be added to the queer movement, generally speaking, to be imposed upon your children in our households and in our churches, because queers are convicted of their sin, and that's why they're trying to rewrite the Bible. But it's what I've been saying for years, that just wait, next year will be another abominable form of behavior that will be added to the list of that which deserves civil rights, even though God actually calls for very severe treatment of those who participate in that behavior. And I've said, wait, it's going to get added. Back then I said, just wait, they will add pedophilia. They will add incest. They will add bestiality. Sounded crazy when I said that 12 years ago in Santa Maria, California. First time I said that. 12 years ago, 2010. But it's coming, and they keep adding it. Trannyism wasn't even part of that deal. But this guy is a drag queen, LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ activist. He goes around. This is a high-level appointment by Joe, I have no morals, Dare Fuhrer Biden. He goes around to college campuses lecturing on kinky behavior. He participates in interviews about fetish role play. He talks about, you ready? Here's my prediction coming true, having sex with animals. I'm just going to quote here from WND News Service here. Quote, his name's Brinton. He said, who was written in opposition to gay conversion therapy. Now, gay conversion therapy is where you go in with the Bible and under the power of the Holy Spirit, you take a person who's homosexual, person who's transgender or whatever, and basically begin to minister the word of God to him, maybe possibly even delivering him through a deliverance ministry to deliver him from a demonic possession or at least obsession. Right? So, hey, everybody watched Linda Blair, right? In The Exorcist, the priest came in to cast a demon out. That's what this comes down to. Gay conversion therapy, you got to get those demons gone. And gay conversion therapy is how it's done. But he loves his world. He also goes by the name, quote, Sister Ray, R-A-Y-D-E-E-O apostrophe A-C-T-I-V-E. Which is, said quickly, Sister Radioactive, which he calls his drag queen alter ego. He's an active member of the Washington, D.C. chapter of a drag queen society known as the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Lists him as a principal contact on its 2016 and 2018 tax forms. And during the group's Lavender Mass of 2021, isn't that something? Queers take something like a mass, turn it into a queer celebration of everything queer, debauched, and abominable, call it the Lavender Mass, where he is seen, can be observed, as referring to Anthony Fauci as a saint, and his name to this group being Daddy Fauci. Oh, how precious, how sick, how corrupt. This is a high-level appointee in his stilettos in the Biden department. Do you see? Oh, I wish I had time for this. I don't. I got to write it down because I got to cover it in another podcast. Why it says in Scripture that in many places that it says that God has sold out the nation of Israel, and God doesn't even get very much for them in return. In essence, there comes a point where God essentially, he sells a country into what it wants to do. And God's Spirit says, the Holy Spirit shall not always strive with man, right? Won't always strive with man. There's a point where God sells him. And the thing is, he doesn't get jack for what he sells. I mean, what can man give back to God for turning a country over? In other words, what these scriptures are saying is God gives the nation away. He gives the nation over to ungodly spirits, which the people desire, they want, they lust for. They put them in power places like this guy in this administration. This has been going on for years. Oh, my gosh. Well, then this lunacy, taxpayers are now to fund crack pipes to advance racial equity. You know what? I got to save this for the next. I do not have time because I do not want to miss the scripture passage that's necessary to hang on and have a measure of sanity in these outrageous times. I picked up my word last night. And I was just hoping, God, what do you have? Is there something here for me? Something that I can share with the people who listen to this program? Because there are different things to share, but this one, because everything that just hit me this week has been on a national basis. We are in tough, rough times. And this passage comes out of Psalm chapter 43. You may want to write this baby down. It says, "Judge." This is David speaking. "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause." Hey, I'm a lawyer. We plead causes. And that's what we put in a pleading. It's called pleadings. And where do we get it? Where do we get the term pleading? Oh, gee, what a quinky dink. It comes out of the Bible. And we plead cause. We say cause one, cause two. Well, where do we get that? Gee, what a quinky-dink. Comes out of the Bible. More on that in the next podcast. But he says, plead my cause. In other words, defend me, intercede, be my lawyer, God, my advocate. Step in on my behalf against an ungodly nation. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Whether it's this program or whether it's any one of a host of other programs, I mean, things today, I said today, I didn't say to get DHS attention. It just has to be said. I'm going to have to call on God to act on my behalf and others who have a much, much bigger platform than I do, who are speaking out, who must speak out. They're on the radar of the enemy, the deceitful and unjust men, which is our Democrats all over the place, taking over every single facet of society, commandeering every institution that we have. Oh, God, judge me. In other words, God, show me what I'm doing wrong so that I can deal with my own sin, which I'm doing, but then plead my cause against an ungodly person? No. An ungodly spouse or an ungodly employer who's come after you? No. An ungodly city where we live or a county? No. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. It is absolutely where we are. And I'm turning a bit of my giving over into a new direction, which I'm going to share, and it's from Psalm 41, the same neighborhood. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. And I am increased. I'm finding the real poor. And the real poor, I've got a black, there's a black orphanage, an orphanage in Jamaica. It's all black kids, Christian orphanage. I love them. I'm increasing my support there. And one in Guatemala, and doing those things because there aren't any poor in this country. They're all on a stimulus program and they're not working because nobody can get employees. And the Lord will preserve him and keep that man alive, that person, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. Thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. And the Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing. I'm shifting my giving because I want to get off my bed of languishing. I have a few health things I need to be delivered from, and I want to be delivered from the will of my enemies. God bless you all. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you very shortly if you're on the podcast delivery stream. Adios.